old world that we can enrich rather unctuous voice. Priscilla praised his latest book. Splendid, I thought it was, she said in a large, jolly way. I'm happy to think you found comfort, said Mr. Barkley Smith. Oh, tremendously. And the bit about the lotus ball, I thought that's so beautiful. I knew you'd like that. It came to me, you know, from without. He waved his hand to indicate the astral world. They went out into the garden for tea. Mr. Barkley Smith was duly introduced. Mr. Stone is a writer too, said Priscilla as she introduced Dennis. Mr. Barkley Smith smiled benignly and looking up at Dennis with an expression of Olympian condescension. And what sort of themes do you write? Dennis was furious, and to make matters worse, he felt himself blushing hotly. Priscilla made no sense of proportion. She was putting them in the very same category, Barkley Smith, as himself. They were both writers. They both used pen and ink. To Mr. Barkley Smith's question, he answered, oh, nothing much, nothing. He looked away. Mr. Stone was one of our younger poets, thinks Anne's voice. He scowled at her and she smiled back in exasperation. Excellent, excellent, said Mr. Barkley Smith, and he squeezed Dennis' arm encouragingly. The bard is a noble calling. As soon as tea was over, Mr. Barkley Smith excused himself. He had to do some writing before dinner. Priscilla quite understood. Offit retired to his chamber. Mr. Barkley Smith came down to the drawing room 7 to 8. He was in good humor, and as he descended the stairs, he smiled to himself and rubbed his large white hands together. In the drawing room, someone was playing softly and randomly on the piano. He wondered who it could be. One of the young ladies, perhaps. But no, it was only Dennis, who got up hurriedly with some embarrassment as he came into the room. You go on, said Mr. Barkley Smith. I'm very fond of music. Well, I couldn't possibly go on, Dennis replied. I only make noises. There was a silence. Mr. Barkley Smith stood with his back to the hearth, warming himself at the memory of last winter's fires. He could not control his interior satisfaction, but still went on smiling to himself. At last he turned to Dennis. You write, he asked, don't you? Well, yes, a little, you know. How many words do you find you can write in a half? I don't think I've ever counted. Oh, you ought to, you ought. It's most important. Dennis exercised his memory. When I'm in good form, he said, I fancy I do a 1,200 word review in about 4 hours. But sometimes it takes much longer. Mr. Barkley Smith nodded. Yes, 300 words an hour at your best. He walked out into the middle. Place you request to my observation for Sir Darwin Smith. You ask me what one should do if one has a great inspiration. I answer, you have inspiration. Everyone has inspiration. It's simply a question of getting it to function. Clock struck 8. There's no sign of any of the other guests. Everybody was always late at crime. Mr. Darwin Smith went on. That's my secret, he said. I give it you freely. Dennis made a safety break from the murmuring chorus. I'll help you to find your inspiration. I don't like to see a nice, steady young man like you exhausting his vitality and wasting the best years of his life in grinding intellectual labor that he could take and obviate it by inspiration. I did it myself, so I know what it's like. Up to the time I was 38, I was a writer like you, a writer without inspiration. All I wrote, I squeezed out of myself by sheer hard work. Why, in those days, I was never able to do more than 650 words an hour. And what's more, I often didn't sell what I wrote, he said. We artists, he said, parenthetically, we intellectuals aren't much appreciated here in England. Dennis wondered if there was any method, consistent, of course, with politeness, by which he could dissociate himself from Mr. Darwin Smith's we. There was none. And besides, it was too late now, for Mr. Darwin Smith was once more pursuing the tenor of his discourse. At 38, I was a poor, struggling, tired, overworked, unknown journalist. Now, at 50, he paused modestly and made a little gesture, moving his fat hands outwards, away from one another, and expanding his fingers as though in demonstration. He was exhibiting himself. Dennis thought of that advertisement of Messrs. Milk. The two cats on the wall, one green, one black and thin, the other white, sleek and fat. Or inspiration and laughter. Inspiration has made the difference, says Mr. Darwin Smith solemnly. It came quite suddenly, like a gentle dew from heaven. He lifted his hand and let it fall back onto his knee to indicate the descent of the dew. It was one evening. I was writing my first little book about the conduct of life. Humble heroisms, you may have read it. It has been a comfort, at least I hope and think so, a comfort to many thousands. I was in the middle of the second chapter, and I was stuck. Fatigue, overwork. I had only written 100 words in the last hour, and I could get no further. I sat biting the end of my pen and looking at the electric light which hung above my table, a little above and in front of me. He indicated the position of the lamp with elaborate care. Have you ever looked at a bright light intently for a long time? He asked, turning to Dennis. Dennis You could hit the dodge or some flip away. Just about gets you through time. The gong sound with a terrific crescendo from the hall. Still no sign of the others. Dennis was horribly hungry. That's what happened to me, said Mr. Barbecue Smith. I was hit to pass, but I lost consciousness like that. He snapped his fingers. When I came to, I found it was past midnight, and I had written 4,000 words. 4,000, he repeated, opening his mouth very wide. Inspiration has come to me. That's a very extraordinary thing, said Dennis. I was afraid of it at first. It didn't seem to me natural. I didn't feel somehow that it was quite fair, I might almost say, to produce a literary composition unconsciously. Besides, I was afraid I might have written nonsense. And had you written nonsense, Dennis asked? Certainly not, Mr. Barbecue Smith replied, with traceable light. Certainly not. It was admirable. Just a few spelling mistakes and slips, such as they generally are in automatic writing. But the style, the thought, all the essentials were admirable. After that, inspiration came to me regularly. I wrote the whole of Homer of Heroisms like that. It was a great success, and so has everything been that I have written since. He leaned forward and jabbed at Dennis with his finger. That's my secret, he said. That's how you could write too if you tried, without effort, fluently, well. But how, asked Dennis, trying not to show how deeply he was being insulted by that final well. By cultivating your inspiration, by getting into touch with your subconscious. Have you ever read my new book, Pipelines to Infinite? Dennis had to confess that that was precisely one of the few, perhaps the only one of Mr. Barbecue Smith's works he had not read. Never mind, said Mr. Barbecue Smith. It's just a little book about the connection of the subconscious with the infinite. Get into touch with the subconscious, and you're in touch with the universe. Inspiration. Can you follow me? Perfectly, said Dennis. But don't you find that the universe sometimes sends you very irrelevant messages? I don't like to, Mr. Barbecue Smith replied. I canalize it, I bring it down through pipes to work the turbines of my conscious mind. Like Niagara, Dennis suggested. Some of Mr. Barbecue Smith's remarks sounded strangely like quotations. Quotations from his own works, no doubt. Precisely, like Niagara. And this is how I do it. Lean forward, and with a raised forefinger, mark his points as he made them, beating time, as it were, to his discourse. Before I go off into my trance, I concentrate on the subject I wish to be inspired about. To say I am writing about the humble heroisms. For 10 minutes before I go into the trance, I think of nothing but orphans supporting their little brothers and sisters. The dull work, well and patiently done. And I feel Thousand words, comforting, uplifting words, lie before me. I type out neatly on my machine, and they are ready for the paper. Don't sound wonderfully simple, said Bennett. It is. All great and splendid and divine things of life are wonderfully simple. Aphorisms, Mr. Barkin Smith continued. I pray you to our chance by turning over the pages of King Dictionary of Quotations or Shakespeare Calendar that comes to mind. That sets the key, so to speak, that ensures that the universe shall come flowing in, not in a continuous rush, but in aphorismic. Give a few in the train today, he said, turning over the papers. Just dropped off into a trance in the corner of my carriage. I find the train very congested to work. Here they are. He cleared his throat and read. The mountain road may be steep, but the air is pure. The things that really matter happen in the heart. It's curious, Dennis reflected, when the infinite sometimes repeated itself. Seeing is believing, yes, but believing is also seeing. If I believe in God, I see God. That last phrase is particularly subtle and beautiful, don't you think? Without inspiration, I could never have hit on that. You really